We are Brightside.
Home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Oh my God, it's so consistent, Steve.
Well,
Gary, I'm like, did I hit the button?
I heard Takeover Tuesday earlier today, and you did it in that, didn't you? And you just dropped my voice in, and it was a little bit spooky.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I do, and it's not, I know, because you just you sound just like the recording. So it's another compliment to you, Steve, on how consistent you are with everything you do.
Well, consistent or boring? I mean, yeah, you know, they're interchangeable terms.
Yeah, exactly. Six of one. As long as you're entertained, that's all that matters.
You are always. I'm always entertained.
There you go. So, did you have a good week?
Yeah, I did. And particularly so for reasons, I ended up in my theater room a lot more this week than I normally am.
Good for you.
And I've been able to see some great stuff this week. You know how every week we've got some, you know, we've always find something good to talk about, but this week everything is good to talk about.
Really?
So I'm excited. So I'm really excited.
One I haven't seen. So I'm excited for that. Mm-hmm. Most of what you have in here. Oh, I'm excited for another one that I feel like I thought you saw it. You did see it, but you just watched it again and you're so excited about it. So I was like, wow, it felt it the way you were talking to me earlier this week. It was like, you'd never seen it before.
Oh, no. This was seen with someone else for the first time who hadn't seen it. So it was, fun. And I saw it through their eyes and heard it through their ears.
There you go. Excellent. Cause we got a controversial one coming. Actually, we have two controversial. We're going to open the show with a controversy and we're going to close the show with a controversy just to let everybody know that's, watching live in the chat. What do we got going on in the chat, by the way?
We have already numbers jumping up. Steve At was first in the chat. Well done, Steve.
Race.
Yeah, followed closely thereafter by Mike Schramm. One comment at 8:55 PM and then Mike Schramm at my time and then Mike Schramm same time.
Yeah.
8:55. That is how competitive these two guys are.
I know. if we change the time on them, we all messed up.
we ought to do it just to spite them.
Cause you know, we're like that.
We got to test them. Paul Hertz in. Hiya, Paul. Dom's in, of course, as well. Hiya, Dom. Rach is in. Hi, Rach. Johnny Speakers is in. And that's all that's saying hello at the moment, although not 30 people. So everybody else that's in there, feel free to say hi, and we will say hello back.
It's shy people. That's okay.
We're okay. That was us once upon a time.
Exactly. As home theater people.
Actually, it was never me.
No. It depends on the crowd. Depends on where I am. I'm usually very, very quiet. But not when it comes to home theater or anything that I love like this. It's like you got to keep going. But we had another donation. I noticed right when we ended the show last week. So we got a donation from Nick Allen. Another $10 box of popcorn. Thanks, Nick. I actually mentioned him in today's Takeover Tuesday. He was one of the emails that I mentioned. So he sent a nice email and I believe if I remember correctly, he's the one that came to us from, John Thompson. Talked us up and I was like, nice. That's exactly what we need. It's like did you hear today's Takeover Tuesday?
I've got the first about 20-30 minutes in, but I'd had to then break off, so I will be finishing it off in due course.
Nice. Yeah, and that's what I said. I'm like, me, you, and John, we're out of friends to tell about this show.
Oh, I heard
that.
We need
other people.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't
hear
that. Yeah.
We need everybody else. You tell your friends and so on and so on, and it's working. So as you can see by the numbers. So thank you, everybody, for that.
Oh, and Rick has dropped in again. Top 40 Hub. Hi, Rick. How you doing, buddy? Yeah,
hey, Rick.
He's fellow Steve. Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike.
Oh, yeah. He's a fellow fan of Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, yeah. Well, have you heard anybody that doesn't like it yet?
No, not home theater. I've heard I've read reviews of the theatrical version where people were a bit sneaky about it, but yeah,
they probably watched it on an iPhone. That's what happened.
Oh, fancy doing something. I mean, who would do such a thing, Deej? I mean, it's sacrilege.
It is, because you can see, I mean, present company excluded, we would never do that and then set our review based on that. But, past lives.
I like to think I've been educated since. I've seen the light.
That was great. So let's see. Anything else? Patreon supporters, we are doing a live chat tomorrow. Chat. Wednesday. What's tomorrow? The 27th. So Wednesday, the 27th, we will be doing a Patreon only live chat. So I announced it to them, but if this is first time seeing or hearing about it, or if you want to sign up, go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, make a $1 a month donation and you're in. Yeah. I charge a fee for that live chat.
That's the one.
But it's
actually not a fee.
It's a perk.
Yeah. And so people know as well, that's you on camera rather than just in the chat. That's right. That's people on camera chatting away. Yeah, it's like a live forum more than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a Zoom chat, but I host it here because I can host up to 10. We've never had more than, actually, I think once we came close on Zoom, but it's just easier to do it here on StreamYard. But if I ever got 12 or more, 10 or more, I just host it on Zoom and we do it. It's fun. We have a good time. We talk about anything and everything, not just home theater. But it's just people chatting away.
It's good fun. And also, Deej, one we haven't done for a while, he's reminded people about the merch. Haven't told people about where to get hold of the shirts and everything else. It occurred to me earlier this evening.
TeePublic. Go to TeePublic, search Brightside Home Theater. And there's all sorts of merch there. As you can see, Steve's wearing his t-shirt. And a lot of, that's how you can get noticed out in public, right, Mikey? Mikey Schramm in the chat. He got noticed in some island.
Dominican?
Yeah. Was it Dominican? Yeah. He got noticed and the person, I think his name was John. Am I correct in that?
I think
Mike. Yeah. He came up to him and thought Mike was me. Cause who else would be wearing a Brightside t-shirt in public? Nope. Wasn't me. It was a listener. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, Mike really shouldn't have been signing hotel bills in your name, really, Deej, but never mind.
Exactly.
I mean,
But what's funny is that's what we said way back when. It's like grab yourself a t-shirt. It's like, I think we get $1 from it, every shirt that's bought, maybe $2. So it's not about the money, but what it does is it's like, if you like home theater, walk around with this on, you will strike up a conversation or two. Believe me, people are like, home theater. Yeah. You're into home theater. Yeah. So, and you might find, common listeners too. Pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. So, and they have hats there. No, they don't have hats. These I have made.
Yeah,
they
those
have
you might,
mugs,
yeah,
pillows. Get yourself some pillows. Great sound treatments for your theater. They do have those. I have a bunch of them in my theater. So look at you.
And stickers and everything else as well. You can put them on the back of your laptop. People will think it's a genuine Brightside laptop.
Yeah.
The number of police officers I encounter who have laptops covered in stickers, you think it would kind of be weird, but I'd see it all the time. Oh, yeah. I am sorely tempted to just get a roll of Brightside stickers and just start putting them on there when they're not looking. See what happens.
Why not?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, all right. Anything else? Anything else good?
No, I mean, it's all good. Like I said, we are going to be courting some controversy this evening.
Yes,
there's
going to
be some issues. Twitter's been a little quiet on it the last couple of days, especially since I broke cover since the weekend. So there's going to be some controversy. Possibly some disagreement, not between us, I don't think, and not in the chat, but certainly in the wider world.
Yeah, exactly.
There have been issues. So, it's great. It's been very cool. How was your week anyway? Is he telling you about mine? How's your week been?
Lots going on. lots going on, little sleep, but it's, I mean, it's exciting. And I got some exciting news, more exciting home theater news today too. So that I literally just found out moments ago. So, really excited to get to that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So
Jack,
I'll put the link in the show notes once we start on this and I get a second that I can grab it. I'll drop the link to T Public, right? Is that what he's talking about? Yeah. Jack's talking about?
I think so.
I'll throw that link in the comments down here in a second. So, but yeah, absolutely.
T-Public. And the thing to note, actually, we should have said, actually, cause Jack's in Oz, isn't he? So we should have said what they tend to do, cause they did with this shirt, and the other one you sent, but with this shirt, they print them locally, Jack. So they don't ship them from the U, well, at least they don't here. They don't ship them from the US. They print them locally. So you get them quite quickly. So that's worth bearing in mind. You won't have to wait weeks and weeks for it to cross the Pacific. They will print them there and then ship them straight to you. So, that's good for cost and it's good for speed of getting stuff. And, when you're in the dark recesses of the concrete delivery mines, you can flash your shirt with pride.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Let me pull it. You can, I mean, you can always just, if you just go to brightsidehometheater.com and go to our website and you can go under merch, that's pretty much the easiest way to do it. It's, I'll throw the link in the show notes here because it is from T Public. So it's like, gotta find a way to send it to them and everything like that. So, cause it's a convoluted, you know, backslash user, whatever. Here, I just put it into the, I just put it into the chat. So you can try that, but you can always go to the, like I said, go to the website too.
Jazz, just, we've got a Twitter comment, Deej.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that. Little X logo. Yeah. So cool. Nice. Hi, Jazz. How you doing, buddy? Always good to see you. One of my followers on Twitter as well. So, yeah, nice. Thanks for dropping by, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Jazz. That's cool. Have we had that before? I think he might be the first. No,
we've had one. We had one when we were messing around with our, remember our, whatever they were called, the Twitter, the YouTube thing, chat things where they paid to have the comment on. And then the first time we did one, someone dropped one in from Twitter, but yeah, it's not common, but it is cool.
Yeah, so there you go. Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, and so. Paul, yes, they are manufactured on demand, Paul. Yeah.
Yes, they are. That's right.
We don't have a warehouse in China full of hundreds of thousands of them.
No. Yeah. It's cheapest possible way to do it. Cause I used to do it. I know people that do screen printing. I know the process and everything. And there's always a minimum order if you do it per, like if I can get probably a little bit higher quality if I do it locally, but I have to buy like at least 12 and then, you know, and then get the right sizes and make sure, but this is easy. It's just easier to get the logo out and stuff. And, so it's the quickest and easiest way, especially for people around the world. So it really works.
And certainly from my experience, I mean, obviously the ones you sent, Deej, are just awesome, but this one was one I ordered locally. And it's, you know, it's fine. It's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the quality of it. It's brilliant. So it's great.
I have the original sweatshirts, but then they just did. I noticed my wife and I, we went on and we grabbed, the gray ones and they actually have a higher quality a heavier sweatshirt now. That's pretty nice too. So I actually like that and it came out pretty good, but I mean, I will say that the screen printing is potluck. Like when I ordered my wife and I, it was like, cause sometimes like on our logo in particular, to get a good image, you want to do like a white base layer and then do all the colors, right? That way that red in home theater would really pop. And sometimes I've gotten stuff where it kind of just looks a little bit more weathered because they don't do the white base layer and the, you know, all the colors are kind of subdued a little bit, which actually isn't a bad look. It just looks like an older shirt, right? So I kind of don't mind it, but if you like that pop, it's like, it is a potluck. So.
Yeah,
but it's about that. It's about getting that logo out there.
True. I mean, this always looks a little faded. This looks faded here, but that's because of the lights. If I turn the light down, this is properly red. It's just the light that's on the camera that makes it look faded. But like you say, that's kind of cool as well. It's a sort of Renaissance thing.
I can brightside anything, Steve. I can brightside anything. I'll tell you right now.
It's right there on the logo.
It's there. So, you ready to get to some bright side experiences?
Oh boy, am I ready to get to some bright side experiences.
I just want to let you run on this. I cannot wait for this first one. I cannot wait for the last one. All the ones in the middle. all right, here we go. Let me get the image up here. Oh, nice composition on the image and everything, Steve. Here we go.
This one came out well. Okay, this, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, people of Earth, is the 4K UHD Dolby Atmos physical release of James Cameron's lesser known The Abyss, which finally, after feels like not just 20 years, even the release of the 4K disc has come with issues because it's banned in the UK because of the issues with what happens to a poor rat during the film. And so even getting it is not simple.
No.
So, you know, it's kind of, I think it's just fitting, really. I think if you just walk down the road and could just buy one in a store, it would be a bit of an anticlimax for us. So, so I finally got my hands on it. And what to say about it? So I think only fittingly, I saw the film. I don't think I saw it in theaters. I don't think I did. So I've only ever seen it on home video. I did have the VHS video of it, which is where I saw it. And I remember, and of course that would have been the theatrical edition, which was okay, but always a bit odd. And then the last time I owned this film, the last time I saw this film, it was on non-anamorphic 20th Century Fox DVD. And that was, in fairness, the theatrical and the special edition. And it looked dreadful because you had to either watch it with ridiculously thick black bars on a obviously small screen back in those days, or you zoomed it up to get to reduce those black bars, and then you got your scan lines. And of course, we had more of that because we had the PAL system. So of course, we had more of the scan lines than the NTSC version. God, you think I've been doing this a while.
I know.
So, I mean, who the hell talks about PAL and NTSC anymore?
I know, but
but it was definitely the issue. So we had all these scan lines, and it was horrible. And it was borderline unwatchable, really. But in those days, that's all we had. So now things have changed. And this is the first time I've seen this movie since back in the day. Hey, John. John's dropping in. Hi, John. We've got John of this parish in the thing there.
Yeah, I just replied to him too.
Yeah, good one. Yeah. Hey, John. And I sent him the digital copy of this, actually. It'd be interesting to see, John, if you've had a chance to watch it. first time I've seen this movie since that DVD. I didn't see the streaming version. I didn't, I hear tell of a version in 2014 that got released somewhere, but I never saw it. I was always waiting for the eventual proper release, and now I've got it. So I watched the special edition. This cannot sensibly be watched in the theatrical version. This is one of those movies we've talked about before, Deej, where it's the director's cut, as it were, or it's nothing really. And it is a little bit weird, this dish, and people should know if they've not yet got theirs. You'd see that's the menu screen, obviously on screen there.
Yeah.
If you hit play, it'll take you straight to the theatrical version. You've got to go to setup, and then it gives you the special edition option. Both play in full 1080p and Dolby Atmos and all the rest. Sorry, 1080p, full 4K. bloody hell. Full 4K and in Dolby Atmos, so you don't have to have any compromise in terms of image quality. And I suspect it's seamless branching, if that is still a thing, but I don't know. So make sure anyone watching it that you've done that, because if you haven't, you've only seen the theatrical version. And you might wonder what the fuss is about. So first time I've seen it, very, very long time, and I'm very pleased to say the movie is still really good. It's not quite, I don't think, one of my favorite Cameron films. I still think, you know, T2, even Terminator, movies like Titanic, films like that. I think, and even Avatar for me are probably still the kind of the high watermark, if you'll forgive the expression. But it's still a very, very good film. And I really enjoyed it, and I had a great time with it. And so the movie is as good as ever. So let's talk image quality, shall we? Actually, no, I'll tell you what. Let's do that last, because that's where the controversy lies. So we'll do, let's
or
do the
controversy,
audio first.
Whatever it is. Yeah, we could have a controversy of the word, however you
controversy,
said it.
Controversy, whatever you want to have. Yeah. So the audio, then, the Atmos audio is great. For the vintage of the movie, it's great. And whatever else people might think about the work they've done on the video, more about which in a moment. The audio has had a lot of work done on it as well. I don't get the impression that this was a press the Atmos button and just see what it does and just leave it. This looks like they've taken a lot of time on it. And you can see why, because this is actually, I think, a very complex movie sound-wise. I would not have fancied being the sound designer on this because of the amount of relentless audio that is going on. There's always water dripping somewhere. There's always things swinging and moving in the background. There's always kind of metal under tension. And that's before you get into the water and you've then got all the little bubbles and the moving and everything else. The design on this is an adventure in and of itself.
Would you say that this rivals Gravity for an Atmos mix?
I think in terms of its envelopment and its subtleties as well. Yeah, I think we're pretty close to that. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think there's stuff in here you can miss because of the complexity of it. There are subtleties here that would be very easy to just kind of get wrapped up in the story and miss it completely. You know, I do remember thinking just little bits that kind of stood out. So you've got all the swooshing and the banging and the bass and everything else. And, you know, there are underwater things moving around and they beautifully go around the room. There's quite a nice moment early on where something, I don't know, we won't spoil it, something is moving through the water at high speed alongside a submarine, and it goes and it beautifully in Atmos space comes towards, and instead of kind of going right past you to the back of the room, it comes kind of middle of the room and then swooshes off to the left. Mm. And it comes up and overhead. So it goes right across, which is quite early on and is a really cool little effect. And you're thinking, oh, okay, right. We're in for a treat here. And then it goes on, but there are things like I remember bits of, there's a couple of quiet scenes where two characters are talking and you can hear water running down the walls to screen right. And then the camera moves, because the camera moves a lot in this film. It's very rarely is it locked off, it seems. And so as the camera moves, the water sound moves to the center of the stage and then goes off again. And it's really subtle. It's not, you know, OTT and it's great.
Yes.
Go on.
I was going to say, that's like people are saying, like Jordan in the chat saying, the effects in the Abyss are amazing for a 35-year-old film. That's James Cameron for you. And when we say the effects, we haven't even gotten to the picture. We're talking sound. Yes, that is James Cameron and his attention to detail for stuff like that and his love for like showing off tech. And one of the reasons, like, I think I, like, fell in love with his films is he, as, you know, longtime listeners know, I love a good pan. And James Cameron loves to use the front pan because that would demonstrate even just simple stereo sound. So, like, in Terminator, Terminator and Terminator 2, when the vehicle pull up from the right to the left, he would have it pan. Because even on a stereo television at home, that would be super impressive. And he wanted to execute that. Now he's doing it all over the room. And your point about the drips and the sounds and them having them moving appropriately with the camera moving around is one of the issues I had with Goonies when I saw Goonies. And it's like, that's the one that always pops up into my head because they didn't take the time. They didn't care because it's quote unquote a kid's movie. They didn't want to do it. They didn't care, but they kept panning the camera when they're looking at them and the water's dripping off the porch in a pouring rain. And it's on the right side of the screen, but then the camera would turn and face the other direction, but the sound was still on the same side. But now that drip is over and it's details that I love to point out to give them the credit for it because this is loaded with them.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a, like I said, it's an incredibly complex sound design, this movie. I mean, talking to the sound designer of this, I mean, Paul, you know, he would know, I'm sure, but this is a sort of thing you'd have an endless conversation with the sound designer about this. Because if you imagine Cameron when he's staging this and he's like, right, two characters, two cameras, one's going to kind of just float around, again, forgive the expression, one will just kind of move around, and then that's going to be that. But there's going to be stuff swinging. So there's a light swinging and then there's water coming down there. And I want those distinct from one another, but you need to hear what they're saying. Oh, and it's not locked off. It's going to keep moving. You know, the sound designer must have been like, you, what the hell are you on about? but you know, it's very, very good. And one of the other subtleties as well is the regulator, the bubbles from the regulators. So as they're swimming, if you listen, you can hear the bubbles moving up and over and into the overheads. And anyone that's been diving, and you know, I've done a lot of diving in my time, you recognize the sounds and how it does all that. So it's very, very cool. So the audio, whatever else anyone may say, I haven't heard any complaints about the audio. Not from, anyway, I haven't seen any complaints either, but you know, who knows, someone somewhere will come up with one. I'm surprised no one wants a mono mix. Anyway, so it's just, someone's going to want one, aren't they?
Yeah. This is demo worthy throughout.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a it's a push play demo movie too, because the opening scene is absolutely demo worthy, similar to the latest Mission Impossible movie, right? And the opening scene from that. But then even after that, there is a scene when the main character here, the what's her name? Lindsay is her name in the movie. Mm-hmm. You're introduced to her. And it's another example, and this is right, it's not a spoiler, you know, she's in the movie, so she's going to get introduced. Well, her introduction is her coming in a door, and she comes in stage right, and you hear her come in, you hear the door open, you hear her come in, and there's noises going on outside that all of a sudden that side of the room opens up, and you're like, it literally was like somebody just pulls like a plug out of your ear, because all of a sudden you're hearing this stuff, but it's a vessel and it's a noise from the door. And then the camera pans and those sound follow to the middle. And then then you hear her dialogue. It's details. There's so much of it throughout this movie.
Yeah, there are. It's awesome. Again, yeah, demo this, no problem at all with that. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And again, for a movie that's 35 years old, you know, it shouldn't be this complex. It shouldn't be this clever. And yet it is. And again, I think we have to lay that at the feet of Cameron, who may well have been thinking, well, look, 35 years from now, we'll have all these different technologies and maybe I can make the sound move in a different way. He must have done, mustn't he?
Paul is saying in the chat, back when The Abyss first came out, you could do pans across the front, but front to back was kind of impossible. Paul, I'd like to push back a little on that. Because we had surround, we had Dolby surround then, even in theaters, and we even had it at home. This came out in what, 89, so right before Terminator 2, which was 91. And we had Dolby surround, and then with ProLogic, but we, even before ProLogic, we had surround, which was just basically you had your front channels, but then you did have a mono rear channel. So, a pan across the back was impossible back then, but a pan from front to back was, I believe, totally possible. Had this on Laserdisc, loved it, had a lot of the stuff back then. And so this was at the birth. These are one of those movies that I would contend is like the birth, the bursting of the birth of home theater. Right. Like even Paul had said, like his family, he had the 8mm or the whatever it was, films of different movies. He's got Star Wars on reel to reel, and people were doing that. But it wasn't until like the mid to late 80s where people really started to mess with this stuff and come up with the whole idea of making it more of a mainstream thing. And this is one of those movies that did it, you know, that people were like, oh, I saw this in the theater. I couldn't wait to get it home, you know. So
well, they quite, and yet they seem to market it on the back of the effects, rather than the audio. I think the audio you got, you came for the effects and then stayed for the audio.
Yeah.
Cause of course this was the birth of morphing and everything else. And of course it's the water effects in this that give us T2. Without that, we don't get the T1000. It never comes that far. Okay. So the audio, great. Demo, absolutely loved it. And bear in mind, this is it is just under a 3-hour movie with the special edition, and yet still sounds fantastic. So then we get the video. Now, I think we've got to acknowledge the potential controversy, whatever you want to call it. There are those who say that this has, I mean, it's definitely been upgraded. It's been re-scanned. It's been tampered with. Whatever you want to call it, via these AI technologies. It's the word someone used on Twitter yesterday. Well, they used a stronger word, but I won't repeat that on air. they called it digital effery. So it's been messed around with, and it's been tampered with, and it's used AI technology that I can't pretend to understand. And so it's definitely been, stuff's been done to it. And there are those who say that the grain has been scrubbed, that the detail's not there, that it's waxy and weird, and that this is a movie that the 2014 scan was much better, and this is rubbish. And there are those who say that this film deserved better, and it, you know, blah, 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 ad infinitum, ad nauseum. Okay, we'll go Latin for a minute. Okay. Now, I've got to be careful because we are Brightside, and we're not here to just, you know, take pot shots at people. Right. However, and I have to accept that they may well be seeing that. There is someone that both of us know who is very much in a position to know all about this stuff, who says it can be, and in fact is, equipment dependent. There are certain players, certain types of players that introduce artifacts into the picture because that's just how their software, firmware, whatever it is, mm-hmm. works. Now, I am fortunate enough not to have one of those players. I've got a player that does this as it should, according to this person that knows. I'm not going to out them because, you know, it wasn't said openly, so I'm, you know, keeping right. quiet about it.
And when you say stuff like this, people get all defensive. It's not me. Not my player.
No.
It's like,
Well,
to be fair, we are all links in the chain.
Yes,
When you find something, an issue with anything, you should also consider, be open to the idea that it could be you. It could be something in your mm-hmm. system. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you, and I've had these discussions over the years with people, that when you're like, oh, it doesn't look very good at all. And you're like, okay. And you think you're debating the same thing. And it's like, well, you're talking two different mediums. Now that's an extreme. Mm. Like I'm talking physical and they were talking streaming, but we didn't know and we were comparing it. So there's a lot of variables to any of this stuff, and be open to that you are a variable, because we all are. We all have, I mean, nobody's perfect.
Yeah. It seems very specifically in this case with these movies using this technology that there are documented particular players that cause issues, not in terms of playback. They don't, you know, not play the movie, but they introduce artifacts into the image, so I'm told. And again, that's not, you know, just scuttlebutt. That is from someone who knows, who was intimately involved in the production of these, and so knows. And I'm not one, and I don't have one of those players. So having watched it, I think this video presentation is excellent. I cannot say it really much differently than that. I thought this looked fantastic. And again and again and again, as I was watching it, I was blown away by the level of detail on the faces, the reflections on the water in the moon pool, the way in which the underwater things glow, and the HDR and all this stuff, and they come to life. This transfer is fantastic to me, as I saw it in my room, you know, with a full calibration with one of the players not causing issues. It looks gorgeous. And I cannot see, as I put on Twitter, how a 35-year-old movie of this type and this complexity could look any better than it does. And someone pushed back on me about it and sent me a picture, because I put up a couple of pictures on Twitter, on my Twitter feed. Someone sent me a picture from the 2014 scan and was like, oh, but look how much better this looks. And I looked at it and it ain't. So, you know, this version's better, but, you know, horses for courses, you know, it's the eye of the beholder. But to me, my opinion, watching it in my room and my system, I thought it looked fantastic. And I like to think, with over 1,000 4K discs, I know what a good 4K disc looks like. And this is one of them to me. And funny enough, DJ, at the start, where you do have this sub and then this thing, this light thing goes past. So it's mm-hmm. very murky and dark. When it moves very quickly, and I thought I saw some banding. I thought, oh my God, what the hell? Cause it's right at the beginning, but it's not. It's not banding. It's a halo effect that I think is deliberate and intentional. It's not, but crucially, there's no banding. So I thought it was great. And I don't get it. And, you know, hell, you know, if these people that aren't unhappy or are unhappy with it want to come and see it at my gaff, then feel free.
Yeah.
Because I can't see how you could watch that on my screen in my room and go, well, there's a problem with that. Because it's exceptional. And so much so, tonight, as I put up on Twitter earlier, I've ordered Aliens. I can't wait till the end of this, end of April for it to come out here. I've ordered that from the US. I just can't. I need to see that movie because I love that film. And I need to see that using this technology because I can't wait. And I've heard your comments about how it looks. It's, you know, it looks really good. And I've seen the comparisons and I prefer this version of it. So I cannot wait to get my sweaty mitts on that, because that's just going to be class. I cannot wait. So yeah, I mean, I loved it. Now, DJ, I remember you talking about this, but you've talked the Kaleidoscape version. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about the Kaleidoscape one.
It's, well, the biggest difference is the Kaleidoscape doesn't have the special edition and 4K with Atmos. Not okay. yet.
Oh, right.
So it's still just a special feature on the 4K edition. So, So I have yet to see the special edition in the full 4K with Atmos. As a matter of fact, when they dropped the Abyss, this was back in December, it didn't have Atmos. It was just the DTS Master Audio. And it was like, 5 days later, 4 days later, we got the upgrade. And, you know, you get an update. Do you want to download it? Yep. And no fee. And now we have Atmos. So I've been back through it. You know, I went back through it then. I saw you had it on the list. I went back through it this week in not sitting through the entire thing, but going to some of my favorite scenes. And you're like, it really is. It's such a demo worthy movie that you will pop through it. Now, if I had the time to sit down and watch the special edition, I'd already have the disc. But with everything going on, I might as well wait. Because if it pops on Kaleidoscape when I'm into my new theater and I already have, you know, the special edition, which they may do. They did it with Avatar on Kaleidoscape. They release Avatar and Avatar The Way of Water, the regular 4K HDR with Atmos on Kaleidoscape. And then like a month later or so, or a little later, they release the special edition at an additional price. I don't care. I've double dipped a million times on other things, far worse. So I'm all in. You want to charge me for the special edition? Knock yourself out. I'll pay for it. Absolutely. I'll pay for it. You know me. I'll pay for it 7 times. Whatever it takes to get the best quality.
Well, but especially with this film, I mean, it's a totally different experience on the theatrical to the special edition. I mean, Cameron famously, when his special editions do change what has come before, they're not just little scene extensions and snippets. They're whole subplots.
This is the early Snyder. This is obviously years and years, decades before Zack Snyder, but this was his vision. This was Cameron's vision, was the special edition. And when we saw the special edition back in the 90s on Laserdisc, nobody else had it. There was no other way to get it. And you actually got to see, people liked the movie as it was. But then when you're like, oh, wait, That makes so much more sense now. There was a purpose to all this. So it the full story is there, but this is like the producers, or not producers, but as you know, this is the exec saying, oh, we need to have this, this, and this. We got to cut the runtime. This is how we make money, blah, 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 blah. So they made him cut it down. And of course, when we get the special edition, you see what Cameron's true vision was, and that's the idea of all that, and it's a completely different movie.
It is now. Okay, it does suffer a bit in the, I mean, because I think whilst he put his scenes back in, I don't think they spent a lot of time on the effects work, so the ending is a big effect sequence which is pretty hokey, in fairness. I mean, it shows its age, whereas the effects work up until that point still look amazing. I mean, the morphing effects, the liquid metal, liquid water effects, whatever you want to call it. I was going to say liquid metal, not to T2 yet, but the liquid effects still look great, and they're composited beautifully into it. They don't really stand out. Whereas the ending looks like it's been, tacked on, and looks like they didn't have all the money to spend on it. And of course, there's a famous bit in the bottom left corner where something happens, which there's no way a Hollywood studio would normally let them get away with. But I think they've kind of just left it because there's not much. Because
it wasn't theatrical.
Yeah.
That wasn't the theatrical. Yeah. So it's like,
but it's basically so good. Yeah. So I'm so happy. I mean, we've been waiting forever for this and the other two. I mean, True Lies is out here on Monday. Aliens I'll have next week from the US, but we've been waiting for such a long time for this film in particular that I cannot fathom. And I'm not, and we will say it, I mean, because there are a lot of people in the chat and listening to and watching this, and there's always someone who's, it's their first time. We are not sponsored. No one has bought these discs for us other than us.
No.
So I'm not beholden to Disney or to Fox or anybody like that. And I can only call it how I see it. And I am so pleased that we finally got this, and we've got it in a format that makes it look incredible. And make the only thing better than how it looks is how it sounds. It's awesome. And we should be thanking the home theater gods for this. We shouldn't be going, oh, that shot's a little bit soft. And on that 3-hour film, there was a half a second bit where I couldn't quite see his eye from across the room. I just don't get it.
Luckily, Steve, Spain isn't underwater. So they couldn't film there.
We don't know. I couldn't say. It was all underwater. Couldn't tell.
Although
you say that, I did have a very strange experience in Spain once, and going driving along the coast at midnight in a rural area. So there were no lights, right? Get this really quickly, right? No lights, no street lights. So it's pitch black, picking my way along this very narrow coastal road, as I said, midnight. And in the water, right? Because we're right on the coast. So we're right in the water. Lights appeared from the deep, right, and actually came up, and to this day we don't know what it was. It was not a normal craft from on the water. So whether it was a submarine, I mean, it might have been the Spanish, navy, I don't know, but it came from the deep and it had lights on, and it made me think of this film. Even then.
Oh yeah,
so maybe it was.
Yeah,
it was a weird experience, that one, I must say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's so cool. We are very, very lucky to have got this. And as I said, I mean, I get some people don't like it. That's their opinion.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And if Aliens is as good as this, or half as good as this, I'm going to be, getting very excited next time.
So that's what I'll say. I will say this is the best of the three. Aliens is a notch below. You will see most likely see exactly what people are talking about, but it's not the end of the world. It doesn't, to me, it didn't take me out of the movie, especially in Aliens. True Lies, yes, there are some scenes where you're like, wait a minute, that's weird. You get a little bit of that waxy feel. But again, that movie is so good on a different level from The Abyss, where I just love the chemistry of Tom Arnold and Schwarzenegger. And then obviously with,
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the chemistry between all of them and the comedy and everything about it. And then the action, I thought it played a lot better than I was expecting it to. Now, I will say that there are moments where you get exceptional detail, and then there's other times where you're like, what happened? So But again, it doesn't take you out of it. But this is the best of the three. So I think you'll see as you watch the other ones. But it, I think too many people get to these movies and they have already heard some of the negative and they just like, that's easy to do. Like, oh yeah, I saw that too. But does that, no, does it ruin it? No, come on, people. And like you said, it's like you see this, it's like, it's not ruined. It's awesome. It's the best that's ever looked.
Well, one of the characters in this says to another character, you need to look with better eyes than that. And this is one of those things, you know, I mean, come on, you know, it's just, it's great. So the chat, so that, cause I get excited about this and I forget to check the chat. So Jordan says, as a massive fan of The Abyss, I think the film's never looked better. Yeah. 100% agree, Jordan. Get on Steve App. Steve App says, I'm just not that eagle eyed to get upset by this. Beats rabbit ears on a 32 inch Sony Trinitron. Hey, I had a 36 inch.
Yeah, well, look at you. But yes, that's a great point, though. I love when Steve says stuff like this, because it's like, yes, there's a time and a place to get eagle-eyed. When you want to get eagle-eyed, and I believe Steve At opened this chat saying like he's stepping in after doing some HT calibration.
Calibration, yeah.
Right? That's the time to be eagle-eyed, when you're calibrating your system and you're trying to dial in the, you know, the focus of your projector, you're trying to dial in and line up your colors or whatever it is. That's the time to be eagle-eyed. When you're putting on a piece of content, sit back, enjoy it. They're all going to be different, and they're expected to be, because they're made by different people for different reasons. And what fascinates me, love it or hate it, fine. But what cracks me up is the rhetoric of he ruined his film. Fill in the right. He did not. He made what he wanted. You don't like it. Don't tell me he ruined it, because he likes it that way. Whoever that director is, whether you're talking Lucas, Spielberg, Cameron, or any, or like, why doesn't Nolan use Atmos? Why doesn't this person do this? Go make a movie. Shut up. It's like, you know, and when they make it, you can like it or hate it. I'm not saying you have to like it, but don't tell them, don't tell anybody that he, the artist, made the mistake. Because last time I checked, Van Gogh, Picasso, they didn't look like photographs.
Well, funny enough, Deej, one of the people that commented on when I put up these pictures on Twitter and said, oh, looks great, you know, really like it, how can it look any better, was a director.
No.
And he's like, oh, well, this is, you know, oh, it's not a famous one, but he calls himself a director. He's probably directed a home video. But anyway, he was saying, oh, well, it's, you know, it's not right. And that's not looking great. He shouldn't have messed around with it. And if I could have been bothered before I muted him, I would have said to him, you know, you're a director. If someone said to you, that's not how it should be done, it should look different, would you be happy with that? Or would you say, get stuff, this is my choice, my movie, I'll make it how I want it to look.
Right.
You know, it's bonkers, isn't it? Anyway.
Exactly. What else we got going here?
Paul says, yeah, so I get the impression the route to Aliens was not quite, the 4K disc was not quite the same as the route to the Abyss. I'm not sure, Paul. I think these were all done within quite quick succession. Titanic, these two, and then True Lies. I think they were all done pretty quickly. Bearing in mind, Cameron did not have a lot of time, so I doubt that they were, but I don't know, but you know, maybe. And he'll still buy Aliens. And, I mean, as I said, I've pre-ordered it. I've ordered it. I couldn't wait. And then Steve At says, I have to rewatch Alien before I put in Aliens. I know, long wait for the disc. I'm going to do the same, although I know them all backwards, but I'm going to do that as well. But I think I'm going to start with Prometheus, because everyone's been talking that up this week after the Alien Romulus trailer came out. So I'm going to probably do Prometheus. I only did Alien Covenant a few weeks back, but I'll do that, and then probably Alien, Aliens, and, you know, it'll keep me going.
Yeah, it's always something. All right. Let's see. What do I have next on the, on this? We got that. Oh, here we go. Are you ready for your next one?
Yeah.
Steve, you're up again. Here we go. I know nothing about this one. So very interesting.
Wet your appetite with this one.
Nice.
Okay, so this film then, and the way I say it is I think communicating the surprise at this. This film is the 2023 animated film Leo, which is a Netflix exclusive, which is produced and brought to the screen by Happy Madison Productions, which is, of course, Adam Sandler's production company. Now, this is an Adam Sandler movie. And this is it's a strange thing. I'd never heard of it until Sunday afternoon.
Me either.
Sat around, again, for reasons. Sat there, couldn't go far, couldn't do very much. And so, I'd finished watching something on Netflix and the trailer to this popped up, before I could stop it. The trailer popped up. Because it's just, they do your head in when they're just trying to search through the menus. These bloody trailers come up. Anyway, yeah. This came up and myself and others, who, as I say, were kind of housebound for reasons, saw the trailer and were like, do you know what? That looks like quite good fun, and proceeded to then watch it. And do you know what, Deej? It is great. Really good.
Great?
Great. Yeah, great. Great? Yeah. It's really, really good. Strange film. It's about Leo the lizard, or he's a tuatara, which I have to say is a New Zealand lizard, so it's only fair to say that. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Okay.
Tuatara, it's a lizard from New Zealand. They're native to New Zealand. It's the only reptile that lives on in New Zealand. We've got no poisonous animals, and we've only got one reptile, and that's the tuatara. So it's a lizard who is in a class pet in America. This is not supposed to be in New Zealand, and he's a class pet, and he lives in a terrarium with a turtle. Looks to be a tortoise, but you know, tortoise. Yeah, it's fine. And he realizes Leo is played and voiced by Adam Sandler.
Okay.
And he realizes that, he is 74 years old and believes that Tuatara has only lived to 75. So realizes that time is short and begins to think that he has not lived his life.
It sucks what when that creeps up on you like that.
There's a nice, there's a very fun flashback sequence of all the various kind of years and eras. So very funny. And for those of us of a certain age, it's very funny because it goes through 80s, 90s, you know.
Yeah.
And then what happens is he then kind of begins to befriend the kids in the class, which sounds nice and, you know, gentle, and it is. And he befriends them and they take him home, and he then has an impact on their life because he can speak to them, and they all think he's only talking to them. And it goes from there. But what is very fun about it is that kind of each character has their own song, but the songs are Adam Sandler songs. So not your typical animated ones. There's no swear. I mean, this is a kids movie.
Okay.
So there's no swearing in them, but they are very Adam Sandler, and they're all the funnier because of it. And there's one particularly excellent song, which I've been playing in the car since this, which is about crying, which is very, very funny. And frankly, I'm going to play it to my clients. Cause it's just very funny. But in a very Adam Sandler way.
If you lose the case, you're like, you play crying.
God, no. That's at the police stations when they start crying about they've been caught. it's very funny. And I had a great time with this, and the people that watched it with me, all of us at the end were like, where did that come from? You know, brilliant film, which we'd never heard of. So as soon as I saw it, I thought, this has got to go up on the show to tell people. It's on Netflix. It's free, other than your Netflix subscription. And so it's well worth seeing. And what's interesting is, now I watched this in the front room, so I only saw it in 1080p and stereo sound. Okay. However, I went back into the cinema room because this is in 4K, HDR and Dolby Atmos. So I went back. So I went back and rewatched. Did your thing? I watched certain scenes.
Yeah.
In the four, and you know what? It looks great. All of the little scales and stuff that's on Leo are all kind of really stand out. It's very colorful and bright, so all that comes out in the wider color gamut. And the music and the songs and stuff, they're very short, and they don't all rhyme as well, which I think is fun. And it looks really, really good. So I absolutely recommend this. This is way more fun than I thought it was going to be. I just thought this would be another kind of Netflix filler film where it's just kind of very often they're imported, you know, they've been dubbed into an English language and they're all a bit crap. But yeah. This was really, really good. And actually, it's interesting to see that people have actually seen it in the chat. So Rach says it's amazing. Holger, who says it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a well-kept secret that I'm now blowing wide open because I'd never heard of it. And Deidre, I think you'll get a kick out of this. And again, Jen will like it because he is doing what she does in a school. Albeit in an elementary school rather than in a high school.
But
he's basically filling that role. And I think she'd have a real kick out of it because of how he does what he does. So it's well worth seeing. It's, you know, it's disposable. It's an hour and a half. If it's rubbish, it doesn't matter, but it's worth seeing it. And again, if you're going to see it in the cinema room, if you can in your theater, because there is complexity in the animation. There's detail there that isn't really there in 1080p. If you watch it upstairs. And Zombie Rush, God, I see everyone's seen it, but me until last week. Why did no one tell me?
Yeah, exactly. Probably because
Zombie Rush says his wife really liked it. But everyone's seen it, man. You know, guys, if we know these films are out there, someone tub thump for them. And then I can see them. Tub thump for them. Tell us, you know, let us know. Greg, someone who I think you may know, Deej.
I think I know him, yeah.
I have to check it out. Said I watched those imported almost meme movies, Cliff, fun, bad. Now this is fun. And I know the East Coast generally has a bit of an affection for Adam Sandler from my time over there. And so this is definitely an Adam Sandler movie. He's really funny and it's well done. And even jokes about how he thinks he's going to have to get more exercise to live longer. And the exercise is blinking. Because he's a lizard, you know, and he does one and then he's exhausted. So it's very, very funny. So I genuinely recommend this. It's way better than it should have been.
That's awesome.
And it should have had a theatrical release, quite honestly. But I know that he's got a deal with Netflix, hasn't he? I think he's got a four or five picture deal, if not more. And so this is clearly one of those. But it should have had a theatrical release. This would have been massive had this come out. The word of mouth on this would have been huge. Because it's so fun. So
last year, right? So it's not even a year old. So
Wow. And I'd never heard of it. Literally had that trailer not come up and annoyed me. as they normally do. And we watched the trailer. I was like, actually, this is really fun. And away you go. Yeah. It's really cool. And so rare for us these days to encounter movies that we've never heard of and have a great time with them. Well, so I'd recommend this for sure.
It's like when I did Hurricane Heist and I've gotten messages from people. I think Johnny Speakers watched it this week. I think Mikey Schramm, I don't know if Mikey Schramm watched it, but when they're like, oh my God, like, and I'm like, and I'm not putting that on this level. The movie isn't, but home theater wise, it was a blast. So definitely, but what was we had another one recently, Steve, where I think it was back when John was still here. None of us had heard of it. And I think I had watched it. I was like, where has this been our whole lives? I can't remember what it was though. It was something that.
Yeah, it was an action thing, wasn't it? Wasn't that your, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I can't. Yeah. You're right. I can't remember what it was, but I remember
you watched so many things all week. to go back into that movie Rolodex of what we've talked about. Yeah. It doesn't work. So, oh man. All right. Now let's come down from all that excitement. It's like, I got a house update. So, getting prepped this past weekend, we had a prep for, here we go. Prep for, to pour the basement floor. So, Joe and Greg, came by. Joe, my son, Greg, my son-in-law. I think that's Joe on the floor there. And if you look on the left-hand side, you can see Greg's leg. That's a ninja leg, everybody.
An awesome ninja leg.
Yeah. And so basically what happened with my, I had the guy in that was doing the concrete and we shot some measurements and shot some grades. And it looks like since we compacted the basement months and months ago, it has settled. So it was going to require more concrete. About 1 inch to 2 inches more in depth of concrete. And he told me, he goes, this doesn't save you any money. He goes, but what you can do is put in an inch of insulation. So now you're basically, your basement floor will be insulated below the concrete. It makes your basement warmer, makes the floor more consistent in temperature. It doesn't save, that insulation isn't cheap, but if you're going to spend it on concrete anyways, you might as well do this. So that's what we did. We, Greg brought in a compactor. We compacted the floor as best we could. And then we added the vapor layer, which is what you see Joe taping down there. And then we added in 1 inch insulation. And, that's where we were. So it's like, and then here it is. That's with the, just the vapor barrier down. And there it is complete. And we poured on it, and we'll get to more of that later. But yeah, so.
See, that to me looks like having spent a lot of time on a tatami in a dojo. That just looks like a, you know, like an Aikido dojo. All the mats joined together like that.
Yeah, it's styrofoam. It's not as forgiving as the, you know, those mats. It's rigid foam, but it works. And, the guy came in this morning and he was like, wow, this came out really good. He was very impressed. He's like, most people don't take this much care. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, we stressed.
This is the most important room in the house.
That too. No, but you know, when you're doing something that's like not really your field. So you don't want the expert to come in and go, the hell did you do here? So you try. I even called him. I was like, is this okay? And blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah.
Yeah, so cool.
Came out nice and very happy with it, and happy I now have an insulated basement, and so are the energy people. So that's the good news. So
it's absolutely ginormous. I know I say it every week,
but you know what's funny? It
looks huge.
It does, but it really isn't. It really isn't. And a friend of mine, we were giving her a tour this weekend. She'd come by, and she was walking through the house and she said the same thing. She goes, this place is huge. But then she did look around, and none of our rooms in particular are very big. We don't even have a lot of them. At the end of it, it's a 3-bedroom house with, yes, it has 4 baths, but that's because there's one in the basement. But it's a 3-bedroom house and nothing is very big. But what she said nailed it. She's like, it's just utilized. Every inch of this place is maximized to its most potential. And that's exactly what we did when we designed it, even like the attic and stuff. So it gives it that feel that it's big because look what you got, all these things, but it's not very big at all, really.
Yeah. I mean, do you need the entertaining area, Deej? Cause I think you've got enough room there for a multiplex. I think that you could have just, you know, multiple ones go. Yeah. Three. Come on.
You could do three, right? You do the big one, and then you do like two or three minis. Ones. Well, and technically that's kind of what I'll have, because it's the entertainment area will have like a good size television in it. It's perfectly sized. DJ is great at Tetris. Yes. Yeah. The process that we went through. Yeah. It was,
but it does look ginormous. I swear there is definitely room for a multiplex there and a car park. You know, I think you've got multi-stories. You don't, it'll be fine.
And car park.
You know, we've got bowling alley, podcast studio, multiplex, multi-story car park, shooting range. Yes. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be full.
I'm telling you,
it's a full day's entertainment here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be DJ's Roadhouse before we know it.
Oh man!
All we need is Dalton.
Am I going to have to call in a cooler?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's all we need. Well, just don't call Conor McGregor. No. Oh, we give me yes.
We'll get
a little taster of what's to come.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to another home theater experience and not DJ's building theater. No, building experience.
Theaters,
yeah. You guys are spending my money left and right, but I don't even have.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/rightsidehomethe. Yeah.
Yes, help pay for DJ's Roadhouse.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go.
All right. Okie dokie. So here we have the recently released in the UK. Don't know if it's out in the US yet. Amityville Horror on 4K UHD and Dolby DTS HD Master Audio 5.1. As I always say, upricks to Neuralex. Now, Deej, I am assuming you've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Right. Good, good, good. Oh, yes. And I should make it clear, this is the 1981? Yeah, it's not the remake. It's less said about that, the better. This is the original with James Brolin and Margot Kidder. James, of course, being the dad of Josh Brolin.
Yes.
So, you know, dad of Thanos.
Looks just like him.
He does. He does. Doesn't Sounds he? Like him, too. Yeah, yeah, yes. He does. Did you listen to the Smartless podcast with him on recently? Did you listen to that? He was on it. Josh Brolin was on it. And interestingly, he talked about this film. This might be the reason why I bought it. He talked about how when he was young, he didn't really know what his dad did. He said he just did not really understand it. And the very first time he visited a set was this one. And he said the very first thing he saw, he went up. So again, not really knowing what his dad did for a living, he said he wandered onto set and he was up above the set. And the first time he saw his dad acting was when he came running into the room with an axe in his hand. Yeah, I mean, like, flipping heck. So, and he said, I didn't really understand what was going on. He said, I was petrified. I didn't know what was happening. Wow. Anyway, so this was the film that he saw.
It is out here. Oh, cool. It came out September 27th, 22. Vinegar Syndrome released it.
Oh, okay.
Here, limited edition, 4K, UHD, DTS Master Audio, all that. But yes, it is out here. Yeah.
So it only came out here a couple of weeks ago. It's very, very, you know, very new release here, but I think it's Arrow. I don't think it certainly won't be Vinegar Syndrome, but yeah. So anyway, so it's come out. I mean, I've always thought this film was messed up and scary in the best way. And I've had lots of conversations with people since seeing this, all of whom say the same thing of a similar age to me. This terrified me as a kid. And, you know, I was really shaken by it. And of course it is based on a true story, ish. And the story is based on a book, and the book has apparently more fiction than fact in it, but it is interesting. And it is something that I've always found quite intriguing and unsettling. Now I have an unusual kind of connection to this because the thing that starts off the alleged horror where the Lutzes move into this house and they only stay 28 days before they flee in terror is that prior to that, a guy called Ron DeFeo Jr. executed his parents and his siblings with a shotgun, and he executed them and said in his defense, the voices in the house told me to do it. And that was a real case, real defense. He's still in prison. And if I tell you that that incident happened on November 13th, 1974, the day I was born.
Oh, jeez.
I know. Yes, it's kind of freaky. So I've always had a bit of a weird connection to this. Very strange. Anyway, yeah, so freaky situation, very strange, but it's still a well-done movie that is still, I think, unsettling to this day. It is a bit hokey because any film from that time that's a horror kind of would be, but it's still really effective. And there are some good jump scares. It looks great. They've done a lot of work in – brilliant. Sorry, thanks, Jordan. Thank you, man. Of course it is. It's an 88 films release, sorry. But the same transfer as the Vinegar Syndrome release. Thank you, Jordan. Cheers, mate. I always can rely on you with that, mate. Thanks, buddy. So it looks great. They've obviously spent a lot of time and money on this. The colors are really nice. There's a red room that they find at one point, not in a 50 Shades of Grey kind of way. There is a red room, which is sort of really deep red, and that really looks great. The detail levels are very good. The skin tones and all that stuff are great. It looks as good as it could possibly be. It's really, really nice. And of course there are sequences at night where the eyes of the house light up and all that looks great. And it sounds good as well for what it is. There are sequences where flies are in the room and you can hear them all sort of buzzing around the room as you would expect. You know, there are some bangs and some crashes. There's lots of storms. Carl Ellsworth would love it, because there's lots of storms and rain and thunder and everything else. So it's really, really good. I recommend this disc. If you're a fan of the movie, and I think lots of people are, if you haven't seen it for a long time, it still holds up. It's still unsettling. The stuff with the pigs is a little bit silly because I read the book years ago, and the little girl claims that she is befriended by an entity called Jody, and Jody is a pig. And they do in this show it literally as a pig. And I don't think she meant it literally as a pig, because of the way she drew pictures of it, it's creepy as anything, and it doesn't look like a pig. It's really freaky. But in this, it's a literal pig, which is a bit weird. You know, when, you know, Peppa Pig cuddler suddenly turns up and it's not that scary. But it holds up well, and it's well worth seeing. And you know, James Brolin in this is great. He is really unhinged, and you wouldn't want to mess with him. And obviously it's always good seeing Margot Kidder when she's not just Lois Lane. So it's very, very cool. Sounds great. Looks great. Well worth picking up. I think this film's great. And is that how you remember it, Deej? I mean, is it a movie that you liked growing up, or is it just kind of another movie?
Well, this was one of those movies, especially around here. Steve At saying in the chat, he's saying that he's the real house is 14 miles from his front door. So, and that's, I mean, that's down in New, I believe that's New York, right, Steve, is what you're saying? You don't have to give your address,
is it, but New York State or something like that.
I want to say it's Long Island, if I remember right. Yeah, but I might be wrong. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, they've changed the address, because tourists kept turning up. So they changed the address. So they've changed it. And also they've now removed those windows at the back of the house that look like eyes. They've now removed them, because again, tourists.
Because you see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Long Island. He's saying yes. Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, fair play.
But any of these were like super popular in the 80s. It did come out in 79, but even into the 80s when I was older, the mystique behind them, because it was based on a true story, and this really happened, especially up here. We have, you know, we got a great history of horror in Massachusetts with the Salem witch trials. And then you also have the axe murderer over here, gave her parents 30, 40 whacks, whatever. What's her name? Oh, I stayed at the house. That was a gift to my wife for her birthday one year.
Yeah. Charming.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. It's, we did an overnight there, and she was scared out of her mind. That's her type of thing. She loves ghost stories. She believes in the ghosts and in this house, supposedly they're in it, whatever it is. We love that stuff. I slept like a baby. She's like, I'm like, how was it? I get up the next morning and it's like Lizzie Borden. There you go. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Lizzie Borden's house. And it's like, same thing. They leaned into it. Like, they just welcome people in. They give you a tour and they show you where it all happened. They tell you, I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, so like this, and kind of like, remember, what was the dumb one? Now my mind's going blank. It was in the late 90s, the Woods one, where it was
Blair Witch Project.
Blair Witch. The popularity of it was that it was real, right?
Yeah.
That's the same with Amityville. Back then, you didn't know. There was no internet to flat out deny this wasn't the true story. So you had so much speculation going on, and everybody was like, I got to see this. And even as a kid, my parents wouldn't let me see it. So what do? You got to see it, right?
Yeah,
so,
around a friend's house.
Yeah, that's what you did. You know, and it's, and you loved it. And you're right. I haven't seen this in years and years. Mm. So, but this is definitely one that my wife and I would love to watch it again too.
It's worth revisiting, because I think you'll see it now from a different frame of reference. So back then you would be identifying with the kids.
Whereas slightly now
you'd be identifying. Well, I used to say, well, you know, wouldn't like to, slightly, you know, cast aspersions. You now sort of find yourself watching it from the periphery of the father, and then kind of like how that interacted with your wife, with the kids, with the, you know, so it's funny how you shift. When we would have seen it when we were kids, you're identifying with the children. You're like, oh my God, what would it be like if my dad
you're watching it like this?
Was like that. Yeah. Well, but also what would it be like if my dad did that? And how would I, oh my God. And now you put yourself in the shoes of the dad. And then it's a different frame of reference, but it's so good. It really is well done. Again, the pig stuff, well, quite. The pig stuff notwithstanding, it is, you know, really well done. I mean, the Blair Witch Project, I was lucky enough to see that just after it opened in Sundance. I managed to get a DVD of it, bizarrely, bearing in mind 99. I mean, DVDs were still really rare, but I managed to get a DVD of it. And when I saw it, I thought it was real because no one had burst that bubble yet.
Right. Same here.
And I found that, and I watched it. I mean, Deej, it'll appall you, Deej, but just bear with me. I had a portable DVD player at that time, you know, one of the little screen ones. And I watched it on that with headphones. And I was – really creeped out by the ending. Yeah. You know, the screaming at the end really unsettled me. And then, of course, the credits roll. So it's, oh, okay, fine. It's not real. But my goodness me, that was genuinely unsettling.
Yeah, we saw that same as my wife and I. We saw that before it was public, because that was before, I mean, the internet existed, but there wasn't a lot of social media. There wasn't a lot of conversation. I mean, it took you 20 minutes to send a message back and forth to each other. That was great. we got the same experience where you got to experience it before it was like, oh yeah, this is just all fake. So, it's a great hook. It's absolutely a great hook. And that Amityville definitely, especially up here, we're like, that's right down in New York. It's a real house. You can go there. And you're like, it really happened. And it's like, I mean, it's scary. Because this stuff really does happen, like Lizzie Borden and this situation. I mean, people did crazy things. And now we call it entertainment. And then you defend them.
Allegedly.
defend them.
Yeah. And play them a song from an animated film. this is well worth revisiting. Is it on Kaleidoscape Teach? Is it?
No.
Is it up on that?
No, okay. Not at all. I looked. Yeah, wow. It's not at all. It's not there. Mm. So maybe they don't have a contract with, Vinegar Syndrome or whatever, but,
when you've got the new theater room up and running and you do, it'd be quite a fun one. And especially if it's a dark and stormy night, this would be the perfect kind of thing, you know,
Halloween. Great. Next October, hopefully in October, the theater's running, hopefully. And it's like, There you go. So,
this would be one of those that I think could be, And of course, you know, bearing in mind where you built this on land, isn't it? You built that on there. I'm sure you can come up with a good story to scare Jen with about what might have happened on that land in the past. all those ghosts of salamanders.
Yeah. All right. Our next experience. Salamanders. You should have brought that up during your lizard. So our next experience, before we get to my more house updates, let's talk about Friday. How about that experience this week? Was it yesterday or today that they actually dropped? So
today, it was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Today?
You said? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they, SVS dropped their Ultra Evolution line. That is right there. I believe that's the pinnacles in that picture there. That's their ad. But I know that, we'll go through some of these. I grabbed some of the images, but I think they're beautiful. That is a pinnacle. And then you see how they look. And I'm like, I'm absolutely loving these things. I said that on Fridays during the show. I'm like, when they came out, I called Ara to talk about like how that like is, like arced and like time alignment and everything. I just thought, I think that's so cool. I think I mean, for home theater, I think for two channel, super important, but I think for home theater, this is where it's like, okay, well, your center channel is going to be lower, but at least your right and left are time aligned. I think, but I think they're beautiful. To me, it's a throwback to exactly when we started out, this is what it was all about. And that's why I absolutely love these things. They also come in white. If you'd like a couple
of keen on that. Yeah. Oh.
You know what? This reminds me of John Brock's system.
Yeah.
And you got a couple stormtroopers standing guard at the front of your room. I think that's the bookshelf. Bookshelves. And then that's their center channel. And then they also came out with the new Ultra. It's the Ultra Elevation. They didn't want to call it the Ultra Evolution Elevation. They thought that would be too much. So it can be mounted multiple ways, but I cannot wait. I'm very excited to be able to see these in person, to be able to hear them in person, at Expona. But that'll be my first opportunity. Really excited for that. So,
in case people are wondering who only tune into this, if you look on YouTube or indeed, it's not up on iTunes yet, is it, Deej? But presumably it will be at some point. Last Friday,
So
last Friday, if you look on YouTube, you'll see it. We did a crossover event with Brightside, the HT guys, and Nick, can't think of his surname, from SVS, the marketing director, and Smith Freeman. Yeah, bro, there we go. And Smith Freeman, who was their lead designer. And they talk amongst alcohol fueled general nattering. There is also discussion about the speakers and the ethos behind it and the work that's gone into building these. So if you like the look of those, and we do, and you want to know more, that's the place to go. Cause we do talk speakers occasionally in between clinking glasses of bourbon.
Yes.
Or in my case, Budweiser. so it's well worth checking out.
I love the name too, because it's like they've had the SVS sound revolution. They've had, you know, that's part of the theme of their company, but then they've had the Ultra line for a while now. And it's like, what do you name like the next iteration? And they call it the evolution. And it's like, it is literally the evolution of the sound of their, I love that play. And it's like, but yes, to get to like the drinking that went on and the fun that we have, it's like, go back on the video and look at the subtle change in Nick's voice, or not voice, I'm sorry, the Nick's face when Smith goes, now I don't think Gary would want me to say this.
Yes, the moment of panic.
I love that, because that's Nick's job. Like, Smith doesn't get in trouble. I would guarantee you, I'll bet you any money, just like anybody that's ever been a boss and a subordinate does something, not that Smith's a subordinate, but you're in charge of the marketing. It's like, but I mean, he doesn't say anything bad or anything like that, but it's just, you knew like Smith was really opening up when he goes, I don't think Gary wants me to say this. And you're like, oh no.
it was funny. Awesome. He, I think, didn't he say, I don't know if it was on the show or just afterwards, that Nick was like, you know, you passed. You didn't say anything you shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
Smith was great. Smith the impression I got from him is he just wants to talk about everything and anything. He's just an open book. Yeah. And as a marketing guy, that's not what you want, is it?
No.
You know, you need to have that leash.
Well, then it's funny because I've had people on the show. I love getting people on and getting them to open up, right? People like that, like Smith or like SVS or Kaleidoscape or Chris Seymour or any of these people, not only, I mean, they're here when I bring them on, it's like, I want them to open up, but a lot of their stuff is very proprietary too. So they have to be very careful about how much they open up. And that's why I always tell them when I invite them on, I don't necessarily want to talk about your product. I want to talk about you. And I'd love to get Smith back and do that. Right. And I'd love to get, I'm dying to get Chris back and be able to sit down. He was on the 24-hour show, but I had great conversations with him at Cedia, but I mean, we totally hit it off. I had such a good time with him, and I'd love to get him back and really chat about him, not his products, which are great, but you get to know the person too. And Smith is like that. I've gotten to know Nick and Larry and stuff, to keep a lot close to the vest because it's very proprietary.
Well, we were like that with Carl, weren't we, as well? With Carl Ellsworth, we were like, yes, because it was in the middle of the strike.
Yeah.
We were like, look, can we talk? And he was like, yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, little did we know, we didn't realize just how much of a cinema home theater geek he was. And it was asking us all these questions, but we've got to get Carl back on.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So cool. I know he's writing at the moment, but he's, it's always good to get him back.
So before we get to our last two movies, let me give you a home theater update. The latest, what happened today, we'll go back into the house, back into the basement. And this was, this morning. I was there 6 a.m. this morning in the dark, helping them set up. We had to run lights. We had to plug windows. We had, because concrete creates heat and you want that heat to stay in. And it was only about 38 degrees today. So we had to do everything we could. So started early in the morning, got everything going. And, here we go. They had a pump. I'll show you this line here is like that hose that they had to pump the concrete in from because of the way the property layout is, you couldn't get a truck, cement truck down and be able to get it in. So they just run this pump system. And then this is what it looks like floated out nice. And this is hand, you know, kind of floated. And, really this here you'd love. This is really good. But what they do on the basements is you see here, see how they're just floating it out. They use the machine, then they hand float the edges and everything. This is it complete. I was walking on this. So this afternoon before I came to sit down here, they've cut the lines, the stress relief lines in it. But they burn it as well. So you run this machine, you see the guy in the machine down there, you just run that higher speed and you just like burn the edge and it kind of like glazes it and gives it a nice slick, nice finish. So it comes out really nice. And there it is. And now it is official. I know 100% I have 107-inch clearance for my ceiling. That's what I'm going to be able to do. That's my parents' side. And then so.
Or as I prefer to think of it, screen two.
Screen two. So that's I'm very excited. I measured the walls. I'm going to be able to get almost 14 feet wide in my open area. It's like 13, I think 1310 will be the width of the room. It's going to be 20 feet deep. It's going to have 100 and, well, if I have 107-inch clearance, I'm going to have 105-inch ceiling. Because if you look at those joists, I'm going to stagger my ceiling joists to the theater off of the joists that I have for the first floor. So that I am going to have a room within a room completely isolated from the rest of the house. So and to still be able to pull off that much space. So I'm super excited about that. Screen size, everything like that. It's all going to work. I didn't know since I sent that picture of me sitting on the log and me. And I should have thrown that in here because it's kind of where we're standing right now. I didn't know. You don't know, right? And there's still like HVAC has to come in, but he's going to HVAC that room. So I'm not worried about that. The width of the room is decided with the plumbing that you see on the walls there. So I'm like super, super Paul, build a skate park. super excited that it's becoming a reality. Ordered the lumber today. As soon as that comes in, I have to start framing out the walls and everything. So, you know, we're going to be seeing, you know, literally be standing in the theater probably within a couple of weeks, standing in a framed out theater. And again, I've said it, might not have any equipment for a while, but I got room.
Then it's a different kind of theater. You're just going to have to act out the movies.
Act it out. Yeah, I just got to build a stage.
Just need a stage. Yep, done.
Yep. So, yeah, really, really excited. But yeah, so that is it for this week for the home. I think the next thing we do in the house is we're kind of in a little bit of a standstill right now. Not a standstill. I got work to do, but I got time to do it. They pour the garage tomorrow, I believe. And HVAC starts next week. I have to have these walls up and everything in the basement by the time they go to do insulation, which still won't be for like 3 weeks. So I got some time. Am I planning on to have a floating floor for the theater? From VJ in the chat. Yeah, kind of. So what you do is I'm going to put down like a, it's basically the kind of floor you would put down. Like it'd be, they're 2x2 squares with the plastic on the bottom. So it's separate from the concrete. And then that keeps everything, you know, nice and separate, but it's separate from that as well as separate from the walls. I actually was talking to Paul Hurd a while ago about this in one of our chats and that I was thinking of putting my walls on it, but then he was like, no, put your walls down on the floor and then keep this separate. And then that keeps everything. And it was, you know, you leave a little buffer between your floor and your wall. So resonation doesn't happen with any of it. So, yeah, I'm also going to have a riser. So that would be also separate from the floor. But, so yeah, it's like, I'm coming along. It's coming along. And it's like, I mean, literally like everything I dreamed of. And when you see it, when it's done, I'm not going to lie. It is going to be nice, but there are theaters that are so, like John Brock's, for instance, is amazing. But this to me is like, this is what I've had in my head, like things that I have always wanted to do. And I've been dreaming about it forever. And it's starting to come to reality. And it's scary, but fun. So much fun.
Yeah. I know how you feel.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get back to some more homes, the actual home theater experiences. Here we go. Super excited to talk about this one.
So, have you seen this one, DJ? No.
A couple of times.
Oh, I was talking about you in the build up to seeing this again. So this is The Batman film, you know, a few people would have heard of. And those who have been listening and tuning in longer will know we've already done this. We've done it quite a bit. However, this week, again, for reasons, I had the opportunity of watching this, at full Cinema George reference level, with someone who had never seen it and has been really wanting to see it for a long time. And so I had the opportunity of screening this like this. And when I last saw it, I've only seen it twice at home. When I last saw it, I did have it at a certain, you know, volume, but it wasn't quite at my reference levels. So this time it was. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, there is no arguing about this movie. You know, it's a great film, and oh my goodness me. I had an absolute literal blast with this. And noticed a number of things that I hadn't noticed before sound wise. In terms of, again, we talked earlier about the abyss and subtlety of sound. This does have subtlety, plus all of the absolute yes. bombast, which is why I think this might be my preferred movie in terms of home theater to Dune, because Dune is all just, whoa, you know, it's all power and force.
Yeah.
Whereas this has that, but it also has subtlety. Yeah. And one of the numerous things I noticed, but one in particular is at the beginning when the Riddler opens out the duct tape. To do what he does,
he raises his
hands above the screen, and the duct tape goes with it.
Yes,
and it's like, oh, how cool is that? You know, that was I noticed that before, and it goes with it. Yeah,
every time I watch it, time I watch that scene, every time I watch this movie, and that scene comes up, I'm like, did I hear what I thought I heard? Because sometimes you'll just go with it because that's what happens and you're so excited, but you're right. And it does. I've talked about that so many times and I'm so excited. Like you heard that. It's like, cause you're like, oh, it goes.
Yeah. But
what's funny is your speakers aren't up there. It's it's so well executed.
But the first time I'd noticed that like that, and yep, sure enough, there it is. And you know, it was great. Now, what was interesting is that the person that I was watching this with is an ex street racer, and they'd had a long day, and bear in mind the length of this movie. So you get about an hour and a half in and they're just starting to drift off, And I'm like, just wait. Here is something as cool as coming. And then you get the Batmobile.
Oh.
And I mean, bear in mind, this is it referenced there. Oh my goodness me. I've never seen a grown person look like they were a kid again. So quickly.
Yeah.
It just was wide eyed. And of course, as soon as the engine goes and you just get that, I mean, the whole front of the room moves, it seems, forward. And it just rocks. And that entire sequence, and then that kept them awake for the rest of the movie. There was no drifting off after that. It was awesome. And I mean, you talk demo sequences. I mean, that is one that's just whack it on, let it go and just watch the room rearrange itself, but in a properly controlled way. It doesn't roll off. It doesn't go so deep that everything gets destroyed. It's controlled, but so muscular and deep as well. Oh, it's great. I had such a good time watching this again. And again, the person who saw it for the first time was like, that was amazing. It's like, oh yeah, you know, no doubt about it. It's very, very cool. I mean, I just wish we'd had our sequel by now, and we're going to get it, what, 2025, 26, maybe they're talking about shooting next year. And in the meantime, okay, as Jordan says in the chat, we'll have the Penguin series, which I noticed Colin Farrell today is saying is hard R. It's a proper violent series.
Oh, nice.
So that, you know, bodes well. Hopefully, you know, it means that. I mean, I'm not too sure about the series because I don't quite know what they're going to be able to do with it, but you know, he seems very keen on it. So yeah, but this was great. And I, you know, it's why I put the picture, because I knew you'd want to see it again. So I put the picture in our little shared picture folder so that you could see it. And then you're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So you're like, okay, I'm going to see it.
Yeah. I was like, I got to get home. I got to go. And I did. As soon as I got home that day, I put it on and I've watched it. I wasn't able to sit and watch it all in one viewing, but God, geez, it's just so good. That Batmobile scene, even the imagery later on, some of the high rise shots, right, of him and Catwoman and stuff. And it's like, I just love that in the detail, even the climactic scene at the end and the audio on that and the cityscape and everything. It's just so well done. And you're right with the detail in the base and in the Batmobile scene and stuff. And it's like Danny Speaker has commented on that when he was here and he's watching it. He's just like watching that scene and it's like, it's the growl. It's the noise. It's just not boom, but there's detail in the boom. There's like, there's levels of, you can hear the different levels of frequency within it. It's the way it's so good. This was one that between this and Maverick that year, it was so like it was so hard to wait after seeing these in the theater. And then they actually outdid themselves, right? Like most of the time you're like, how good is it going to be when you get it home? You know, you're like, it's a Sony disc. I know it's going to be good. Or it's this. I know it's going to be that. But this is like, you hear it in the theater and you're like, that was really good in the theater. And then you get home. And when you get a hold of the physical copy, you're like, oh my God, that's why we don't like to go to the theaters. It's not even close. It's not even close. Yeah. It's so good. And then it's just a fun movie too. I mean, on top of all that, as a Batman fan and how kind of true to the Batman character this really was.
No, it's great. Really, really good. And you talk about the details. You just get lost in the suit. You just find myself staring at the little marks on the cowl and the little chips on the chess piece and the detail on the, what you realize is a combat knife is the logo and on the arms and all the different pieces of it. You know, just, you can endlessly watch this movie and not even think about the story. And just looking at these little bits and pieces. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And I said, the first time I saw it at home. And when he walks into that crime scene at the beginning as Batman, and you're like, what the hell? His costume, his suit is different gradations of gray with some black accents. It's not just all black, but when you saw it in the theater, you're like, oh, it's the black Batman. So you don't get that you don't get that level of detail in a theater. It's just too big a screen. It's like, I mean, and like I've said, the theater that I go to here, it's been upgraded, has a fantastic image. It's just not to the level of what we can get at home in a more intimate environment. Plus you're looking at it very, you know, eagle-eyed, to put it to Steve's. But the textures to the fabrics or lack of fabric or the armor or whatever he has on, and even like the rods that he has for protection on his wrist. What I found nice about that is the detail in that is this is like Batman based on Batman Year 2. So this is all rudimentary stuff that he's trying out. And you can see that, like, even the Batmobile itself and in leading up to that, look in the background at the engine and the things that he's working on and that he's putting together. That's what, you know, that's Batman's story. And it's like, he's just not fully there yet. He's not fully matured. And you're getting that. Oh, it's so good. So good. That's why when I saw you, like, I can participate in this conversation too.
Well, before I put it on, I said, oh, DJ's seen this, you know, multiple times. And, you know, and I said, as soon as I put this up, you'll want to see it. Sure enough, you did. Yeah. But yes, it is an exceptional home cinema experience. I mean, it's reference within the confines of this film. I think the picture, obviously we've talked about the deliberate nature of the color palette and everything else.
Yep.
But whatever else you might say about how it looks, the audio on this is utterly thunderous in exactly the way you want. It's not going to kill your subs. It's not going to destroy your room, but it's going to blow you out the back of it in exactly the way you want.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so good. Yeah. I had a great time with it.
It is. This is quickly becoming another like Star Wars T2 type movie that I will like sit down just to relax and just be like, let it wash over and just enjoy it. Like that opening scene. I mean, you go right to like, oh yeah, this like the whole time and the kid in the window. And I remember the first time seeing that and like, is that an homage to Red Hood? Is that like with another cat, you know, like, is that that? And then, I mean, there's so many details to this movie. Yeah, it's so much fun to watch. So
that opening until the end of the fight in the subway, that whole voiceover and the music and the ominous. Oh, I mean, that's one of the best opening sequences of a film of all time, I would say. I mean, it's just awesome. I love the way he calls it the element. Yes. I just find that just fantastic. It's like the opening of a comic book. It is exactly like the comic book where you'll get the panels, which is clearly supposed to be a voiceover.
Yes.
And it's so well done. I mean, you could almost ignore the rest of the movie and still find that little short film would be enough to make you just be drooling.
Yeah.
It's how good it is.
When he comes out of the darkness in that opening and like the HDR on that, and you're just like, oh, there, I get the detail. You're seeing it. And it's like, yes, there's a different palette to their black levels in this movie, but it doesn't lack for detail by any stretch of the imagination. There's tons of detail, and it's just watching him come out is so good.
The only way it could be better, Steve, is if they had, I thought you'd get a kick out of it. The only way that it could be better though is if they incorporated in the Barry Keoghan deleted scene. I would have, with him as the Joker, that longer scene.
Yes.
With Batman. I mean, that should have been in the film. It really should. And the only way they can reset the karmic balance is if he is the Joker in the sequel. Because he is fantastic in that, and he's creepy as you'd want the Joker to be. That really should have been in the movie.
So if did that, let's go movie wise for a second. Do you think that's too on the nose to Nolan's trilogy where Joker showed up in the second movie?
Yeah, but this is a very different version of it. I mean, it's a totally different, you know, it's a completely, do you know what? I would say it's even a different genre to the Nolan movies. I mean, this is a very different film. And no doubt the second one would be, I mean, honestly, it'd be more horror than anything else. I mean, it's almost body horror looking at the Joker.
Yeah, that would be great.
So there's a way of doing this and you can completely differentiate that from Nolan and still have this absolute animal as the Joker. Yeah. You know, this idea that, you know, when the Joker tells a joke, the only person laughing is him and everybody else should feel sick.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how you get, this is what he seemed to be doing. So I would love to see that.
Yeah.
But you know, that, like you say, it might be a bit on the nose. But you know, it, with James Gunn in charge, hopefully he won't mind a bit of that.
Maybe.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, Fred, so Fred good. Is saying, yeah, Fred, you're right. That's what we were, one of the many things we were talking about, buddy. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
very, very
Fred
cool.
Said hello earlier. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up this week, Steve. I told you, I was at work. I was like so excited.
So if next week I put up a picture of Evil Dead Rise,
thank you.
I'll say something else, you.
Yeah. I'd never say that.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. So we got a couple to go here. Let me do this one first. This is another one from me before we get to our final, but I had to do this. I had to. This is Roadhouse from, what is it, 1989? Is that
awesome? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that must have been. I was in Spain, well? So it must have been. Yeah.
Okay.
89, 90.
Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse from 1989, HD, in HD on Kaleidoscape with DTS Master Audio 5.1. And I got to tell you, it's like, I watched, you know, another movie before I watched this. And this is the one that made me decide to, I was like, I got to try this out. I got to go back. It's been a while since I'd seen the original Roadhouse, and it's pretty good. Home theater wise.
I reviewed the 4K disc, didn't I? Not that long ago.
You have the 4K?
Yeah. We did it on the show. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, you know, I'll let you off this time. Just, you know.
Okay. But it, even like on the Kaleidoscape in HD with the 5.1 upmixed, of course, it sounded really, really good. I thought the image quality was really good as well in HD. I was way more impressed with it than I thought I was going to be. Tons of nice ambient sounds throughout. And the, you know, the scene with at the beginning when he's looking for a place to live, and when he first turns around to walk in, now you can hear the horses. I forget which side of the room it was on though, but it was like, you can hear the horses, the footsteps of the horses in the dirt. You don't see them. You just know that they're over there. It was really, really cool. I was like, wait a minute. They put that much detail into Roadhouse? It sounded really good. And then, of course, that's when you're introduced to the helicopter flying overhead. Upmixed really, really nice. I mean, it really sounded like the helicopter was going over your head. There's a scene later on with Dr. Kelly Lynch, who then later on, a year later or a couple years later, I think it was, we got Dr. Nicole Kidman in a little known movie called Days of Thunder. So where you get those really good looking doctors. but yes. So in the hospital though, same thing. It actually pulled me out of the movie for a second. I was trying to pay attention to the conversations going on around the room that I was like, wait a minute. You can actually hear people talking. That was really cool. Really, really nice gunshot around 1:23. It's not the climactic one at the end where you hear a final gunshot. That one was really good. What do you remember that one? I felt like that was right. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, that's kind of right up Steve's alley right there. It's not a, it's not a 50 cal, but it was a pretty strong gun.
But what is?
Yeah, exactly. Did you notice that the big fight, the big face off between the two baddies? Did you notice the Die Hard score in there?
Yes. Yeah. The little thing as they come around to it.
It's the same as the tense moments in Die Hard. They had that score while the fight was, it wasn't the entire score, but you could hear the Die Hard score in there. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Definitely worth a watch, especially if you love the movie. I don't have the 4K version, but.
Yeah, well, I highly recommend the 4K one. I did review it on the show. I mean, the movie is a cartoon anyway. The HDR and the wider color gamut really bring that out, and all the colors look absolutely amazing. And the detail levels are really increased as well. So when you first meet Patrick Swayze in the Double Deuce, you see he's leaning against a post, and on that post, there is various things scribbled on it. And etched into it. And in the 4K, you can see one. I'm trying to think what's the word on it? There's a thing on there. There's a word carved into it. And that was his nickname on set. It was Swayze's nickname on set. And you can see it all clearly etched into it. And 4K, it really stands out. So you can see it really clearly. But I could see it perfectly.
I saw it perfectly as well. It's right next. Yeah. I forget what it was, but I could see it perfectly in the HD. Yeah. So I'll be interested to check out the 4K and see if it's that much better. I don't know. Yeah, was it
great? It's one of the editions. I can't remember if it's Vinegar Syndrome or Shout or, you know, Kino Lorber or, I'm not sure who it is.
Vinegar Syndrome. It is Vinegar Syndrome.
I just pulled it up. It's got like a hand-drawn cover. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, really good disc. Well worth getting.
Steve, I think I have it.
Really?
I do. I gotta go look. Not right now, but I gotta go look later because it came out January of 23. You did review it. As soon as I saw the drawing on it, I was like, I think I bought that.
So there's you sat going, wow, look how cool this HD version is. And you've got the 4K version and it's cellophane.
But I'm telling you, like, especially based off of that example you gave, I'm like, that looked amazing. So I'm wondering how, like, I mean, I don't know. It's like,
they've spent some money on the remaster. It's really decent. It really is. And I think you'll be probably pleased with how the colors really come off. All the white, the white doctor's coats and stuff. And he wears that white shirt at one point that when he gets cut,
he has white pants on in one of the scenes too. Yeah, that's the '80s.
It looks very cool. Well, you got to wait. It was okay in the '80s. So it's very, very cool. Yeah. It's a really, really good film. And like I said, if you can get hold of the 4K disc over here, it's still not out. I imported it. Then I definitely recommend the 4K disc. And this is a movie that is still fun.
It's 60 bucks. It's saying right now on, I'm on Blu-ray.com and they're saying on Amazon, $59.99, buy new on Amazon. So it's probably limited right now.
Maybe not then.
I'm hoping I have it.
Wowzers. Okay. Yeah. Maybe don't go and buy that immediately then, guys, but, very cool.
Yeah. If not, I'm telling you, the Kaleidoscape HD version looks fantastic.
Still good. Yeah. How much is it on Kaleidoscape?
I think it might have been 24, actually.
Wow.
I think it might have been 24.
Yeah. Okay.
So here we go.
Well, from one roadhouse to another.
To yet another. Great image you got there, Steve.
Yeah, it looks a bit pixelated on there. I nicked that off of the internet. It's not it's not one I took as much as I could. But so do you want to start on this one then, Deej, or do you want me to start? What are we doing?
I just told you my version of the old one. Okay. So I did watch this as well on Amazon Prime. It's free. It's hour and 2 hours, 4 minutes. You know, from 2024, HDR, 5.1.
Yes.
And, why you and I have talked a little bit about it the other day, but why don't you take it away from here? Cause this has a lot of controversy with it and we'll even get to more of that later as we wrap up the show too. But what did you think, Steve?
So, alrighty. Well, it was very cool. I've known for a while it's been coming. And of course, there's been controversy with Doug Liman, the director, saying he wasn't going to go to the premiere because they'd had test screenings and the screenings were massively successful. And he was petitioning Amazon to have a theatrical release. Amazon, of course, have the rights because they bought MGM. And Amazon said, look, this was always going to be a home exclusive. So get knotted. And unfortunately, Doug Liman threatened to boycott the premiere, but did in fact go. So all's well that ends well. They're all friends now. So I've known it's been coming, but it dropped Friday and I had forgotten all about it. And it was Friday late afternoon. Someone put something up or I saw something on Twitter. I don't know. Something came on and I suddenly realized, oh my God, it's out. So got home, filled my face full of food very quickly and then just dived into the theater room with this other person to see it, who's a fan of the original. And we put this on. Okay. Now the film, it's a bizarre movie.
Isn't it?
for me, I thought it was very strange. It starts really well. And Jake Gyllenhaal's a great actor and he commits. I mean, anyone that's seen The Fighter, anyone that's seen, Southpaw. Southpaw? Southpaw, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone that's seen that, anyone that's seen, Source Code, movies like that, he can get ripped for movies when he wants to. And boy, is he ripped in this. I mean, there's not an ounce of fat on him in this. So it starts off really promisingly but then at some point Conor McGregor comes into it and the movie then begins this bizarre series of tonal shifts where 1 minute it's supposed to be, I think, quite sort of within the confines of an action movie, but it's supposed to be sort of quite serious-ish. And then it takes a complete turn into Looney Tunesville. Yeah. And then it kind of comes back again, and it go, and sometimes that happens within the same scene. I mean, there's sequences where there's a fight going on, a life or death fight, and they're talking about pianos. Yeah. And you're like, what? And I kid you not, Deej, me and the person I saw it with, both of us looked at each other and were like, what?
Yeah.
And then, and so they, so it's very strange tonal shifts. And I personally don't think the film ever really works out what it wants to be. So I did enjoy it. You know, the fights are well done. Interestingly, I didn't know at the time, but I do know now that the fights have been filmed in a very unusual way.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of CG trickery gone into those, which looking back, you realize it. But at the time, I didn't know that. And so, you know, the fights are good. Most of it's good. Conor McGregor performance is, I think you either love it or you hate it. I think I'm a little bit more on the latter than the former, because I think he is to this film. See, because this is what I was trying to work out. Has there been a character that is threatened to derail a movie in another film? And the only one I could come up with is Chris Tucker in Fifth Element.
Oh,
what
a character. Yeah, but you don't like that movie.
No, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Who, a character that comes in who just does something that just kind of changes everything. And that's Conor McGregor in this film for me.
No, but here's the thing. That's Chris Tucker acting. We've all seen Chris Tucker do other things. He can be extreme like that. This Conor McGregor, they're like, what is he doing? I'm like, that's the thing. He's not acting. That's just how he is. That's how he would act in like the UFC when they do weigh-ins. And he's just like, yeah. It's like, I mean, he's just bonkers. I think Conor McGregor is living his life like, what's his name did. Or Jared Leto did trying to be the Joker. Like just went bonkers for the sake of being bonkers. But that's Conor McGregor's life. That's what he's trying to be.
Wow. Yeah. But then that's fine. Let's have a film with him. But we did not then wander. It's like he was just on set that day and thought, you know what? I'm going to step in front of the cameras. No one's going to stop me because I'm Conor McGregor. And so it's very strange. And the movie never quite. And I mean, I would say, you know, hopefully Mr. McGregor's not listening or watching. Yeah. but I think it's Razzie level for me. You know, I mean, it might just be playing himself.
McGregor or the whole movie? Yeah,
no, McGregor. McGregor.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
He's Razzie all day
long.
He's
horrible. He's horrible.
Now, having said all that, I did enjoy it. And enough to, and I did say to again, to person, when I finished it, I said, if they release it on physical media, I'll buy it. 100%. If you get that 4K disc, I'll buy it. But I said, but otherwise I won't see it again. I wouldn't watch the stream again. I would never feel the need to do that. So the film is crackers and just very, very strange. But you've got to admire the fact they did try something different. This is not a direct remake. It's not a reboot either. This is a very different kind of movie. And you have to give them some
it shares sort of name only. Really?
There's
Easter eggs, homages to the original in the movie, but the movie's nothing like, it's a completely different story, right?
It is.
Not completely. It's kind of the same story, but all the characters have been changed for the sake of anonymity, I guess.
Protect the innocent. Or protect the guilty in this case, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but go ahead.
I did enjoy it almost in spite of myself. It is not as good as the first one. I love the first Roadhouse. That film has a place in my life and in history, whatever you might think of it. And this does not come close to that, nor would it ever fit, you know, really. But I did enjoy it. Now the thing that most impressed me about it is, and again, we'll make it clear, we're talking here about the 4K version. And of course, Deej, we have to acknowledge that since we last reviewed an Amazon Prime movie, there are now two tiers, aren't there? So you've got the non 4K version, and then you pay extra now for the extra $2.99 a month, whatever it is, to get your 4K, you know, Atmos, not that this is in Atmos. So we're reviewing the 4K version. Both of us pay the extra for that. I thought it looked really, really good for a streamed release. Yeah. I actually was really impressed. It helps that it was shot in the Dominican Republic. I didn't see any Brightside Home Theater shirts, but you know, I'm going to watch it again. Who knows? it helps that it was shot there because all of the turquoise ocean, the very bright colored shirts that Jake Gyllenhaal wears for most of the movie, the wood grain and the ceiling and the roof of the thatched roof of the roadhouse, all look beautiful. And again, all the rippling muscles. I mean, you know, everybody in this movie is ripped to the nines. You know, I don't know how they've got time to run a bar. They're too busy in the gym, one would imagine. And all that is detailed as anything. It looks fantastic. And again, as the movie was going on, I was just thinking, wow, this is great. But unfortunately, I can't say the same for the audio.
Really?
One, I had to bump it quite a bit more than I normally would. I had to go quite far. I mean, I'm talking maybe 10 dBs more than I normally would. It really did have to bump it. Yeah.
Not me. And I thought it was great. That's why I wanted to like kind of jump in right there is that there's variables to streaming. And it could be your stream at the time. It could be this. It could be that. It's like just what you hear and see doesn't mean that's the guarantee of what that is. Right. Yeah. We talked about it earlier. Right. And I didn't know we were going to be talking about it here too, but it's, I thought the sound was really good. I thought the bass was good. I thought it had good punch, pardon the pun. But I thought it, you know, with the fight sequences, the ambient sounds during the fight sequences, the soundtrack to it, not as good as, was it Jeff Healey in the original? This one was, you know, it had good sound and the soundtrack was fun, but it's not anybody that I was like, oh, I can't wait to, I'd love to hear them more. I think a lot of us walked out of the original Roadhouse and were like, who's Jeff Healey? That was really good. And that was my introduction to him anyways, I think. But I thought the surround sound, the 5.1 mix on this was, I wouldn't say very impressive, but for Amazon, I was very happy with it. And very, very it's happy with the 4K image too.
It's not Tomorrow World though, is it? Not Tomorrowland or whatever it was.
You know, Tomorrow War.
Yeah. That's the high water mark for Amazon for me.
Yes. Absolutely.
I think the best part about this was the music. I thought, you know, when they're on stage, you feel like, you know, that you're close to it and, you know, all that stuff. But I was underwhelmed. Having said that, I did watch it Friday in what would be peak streaming time. It was early Friday evening. You know, it could have been the stream. That is possible. And we had that with Greyhound, didn't we? Remember we talked about that ages ago about how the first time I saw it on Amazon, on Apple TV was a bit underwhelmed. Watched it again months and months later and actually felt more. So it could be that it was a stream. It came up on my receiver as PCM. It upmixed it to Dolby Surround. I think it was rather than DTS HD, Neuralex, sorry.
DTS Master Audio. I always upmix. If it's the only thing I upmix to Dolby Surround is Dolby. So if it's a Dolby 5.1 mix, it'll upmix to Surround. Everything else goes to DTS Master Audio Neuralex. Yes.
Yeah. Well, mine seems to upmix PCM to Dolby Surround and then and obviously all Dolby tracks and then all the DTS ones are Neuralex. I mean, I'll give it another go, maybe, but I'm not, I didn't enjoy it enough to want to see it urgently. But you know, maybe sometime down the line, you know.
See, that's the thing to me is this isn't like, I don't think it's a great movie by any stretch of the imagination. But I found it really entertaining. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I love his sarcasm through this, right? He's a different kind of Dalton. I think this movie is like, if you took now spoiler, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler. Think of the original one and like everything you think about the original one. I could actually tell you if you ever want to talk spoilers. They almost took everything from the original one and did the opposite, right? Now, to the point that in the original one, here's a small spoiler, but everybody's already seen Jake Gyllenhaal, right? He's ripped. Swayze was ripped, but he wasn't big. And that was the line in the movie.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. I thought you'd be bigger. Right. In this one here, you look at Jake Gyllenhaal and you'd be like, that's about right. It's like, that's what you expect that guy to look like. He's a badass and he's huge. And you're, mm-hmm. I mean, so they kind of like took the original and turned it on its head and made something else. And you're right. There are times when it's convoluted. It doesn't really work. Like, what are you trying to be here? A couple of the stunt scenes I thought got a little wonky with the FX, but for the most part, I loved what they did with the new fight scenes here. It's like, I don't think it's ever been done. There was one particular fight scene where I've been in fights, and it's like, it actually gave you that feel because the sound in the room went down. Cause like, you know, like you're like, you've been hit and you're like, everything's blurry. Well, things got blurry on the screen and you're trying to focus on your opponent. And in this movie, they actually did that from the fighter's perspective, the first person perspective of you trying to focus on that person. But all the while, the room actually gave you that same sense of feel. If you've ever been in a real fight where you're like, this isn't like a drill. It's not anything. You don't know what's going to happen next. All sound kind of goes away because you're just so hyper focused and you're like, oh, but that's what that room did. And I thought they kind of nailed that really, really well.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that fight technique. I can imagine Chad Stahelski and those guys that, you know, with John Wick and Nobody and all these movies. Yeah. I can imagine someone taking this technique and pushing it further. Cause it does bring a visceral nature to the fighting, which is, you know, engaging. I mean, you know, entertaining might be the wrong word, but the problem with this movie is it then undercuts that. And again, as Rach says, I thought it was weird them talking about the piano. You know, in the middle of kind of this fight, it's just odd. So this movie kind of wants its cake and wants to eat it as well. It wants to kind of be violent and visceral and all that stuff, but then be a kind of comedy too. And so this film is odd. And Doug Liman isn't normally like that. I mean, he's made some great movies. So it is undercut. But so someone taking this technique and pushing this to something serious could be very, very interesting indeed. Yeah. I mean, Scott Adkins was tweeting over the weekend about that fight technique and going, this is in my wheelhouse. So he's like, I'm, you know, really enjoyed that. And you can imagine them taking that, you know, a lot further. And Donnie Yen and, you know, all these guys really trying to make it different. So we might look back on this as the first of a, you know, as a bit of a genre pushing movie. But at the moment, Conor McGregor just overshadows it all for me and just kind of is just too much. You know, people have said he's the Tasmanian devil in this. That's what he's supposed to be. Fine. But then put that in the Looney Tunes. Don't put that into a real world movie about, you know, fighting. Just, I don't know.
But having just seen the Daredevil, the Ben Affleck Daredevil, the scene when they call him in on this is very reminiscent to that scene in that movie when they call Colin Farrell to be, you know, Bullseye. And it's like the same, he gets a phone call and you're like, hey, you know, and he's like, you can't understand his, you know, with his accent. And it's the same with Colin Farrell. It's like very reminiscent of that, but it's, that didn't bother me in the least because I think that's just Conor. I would have been shocked if he came off as like reserved. I thought that would have been a more fun, like, if they use Conor McGregor and had him act like the guy that was the original.
Yeah, play against type.
Yeah, but in the original Roadhouse, the guy that Swayze went against was that quiet, you know, he said nothing the whole movie until the freaking end when he sounds like an idiot. But but Conor McGregor sounded like an idiot the whole time until I just feel like it's like that would have, for Conor McGregor, that would have been fun. But again, this is another instance where they went the exact opposite of the original and they were like, you've got the mouthy guy. And it's, I found it super entertaining. I definitely will be rewatching this, not soon, but I could see myself 6 months, maybe you'd be like, I'm going to try that again. And to your point, you did it on Friday, the day it dropped, when the whole world is like, you're like, oh my God, it's out, because everybody's watching it. I wouldn't be surprised if you had a better stream, you had a better audio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope so, because I said the video was great. And so, you know, whatever else I might think of the movie, it did look good. And I constantly found myself, you know, marveling at how sharp it looked and the colors and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I might do, but again, if they release it in physical media, I'd pick it up because I'd want to see it again without any of the limitations of streaming. And you say it is entertaining. It's just strange at times. And we'd recommend it, wouldn't we? We'd say to people, if you can see it, see it. If you've got Amazon, give it a go. I mean, Steve At's saying he's got the old one on Blu-ray. It's now limited to HD. They get enough dollars from me already. Join the club, Steve, between Prime and all the stuff I order from them. But I think that it's still worth seeing, even the oddities aside, because it's become part of the conversation with not only the shooting techniques, but also the fact that it's homaging a classic movie and all the rest of it. So it's definitely worth seeing, but you know, to be fair though,
great.
To be fair, Ed, I think DJ's all right. It's me that could be in some trouble.
No, I said he was awful. He was awful. Have you heard him? Have you heard Gyllenhaal on Smartless?
No, I haven't heard that one. No,
it's a recent one, ooh. And so he joins them. A lot of cycling talk, which was funny and entertaining. And I love cycling, but I wanted to hear about Roadhouse, and they talk about it for like 5 minutes. But one of the things he does say is, it's like when him and Connor first met and got together, it's like Conor McGregor is like, buddy, you gotta help me. He's like, I'm like a white belt at this. And then Jake Gyllenhaal looks at him and goes, these fight scenes, I am below a white belt at this. You have to you have to be careful, right? And they said every time they were shooting a fight scene, they were like, do not hit me. It's awesome.
So I have seen an interview. I've seen an interview with them since, and where he said, I would, this is perfect for me. I've been in loads of bar fights. Can you imagine how nervous the director was? Don't hit the talent in the face. But apparently did hit him once. I'd read somewhere that he did actually hit him at least once. But, look. Again, as I always say, whatever else I might have thought of the movie, I'm glad I saw it in my cinema first, because I think if I'd seen this in a commercial theater, I would have hated it. So seeing it at home, comfortable, really good screen, audio, all right, you know, was the way to experience this. I'm so glad that's what it did. So whatever else I might say, thank you to Amazon for at least giving us the chance to see this at home rather than a theatrical version. I didn't need to see that. This is how I wanted to see it. So, you know, there's always that.
And here's the thing. I don't shy away from anything. I'm not, I love opposing opinions. Coming up on Takeover Tuesday, I got
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to see DJ get killed. Even better than Conor McGregor. I'll tell you right now. I got Rich Keefe from Hashtag Dork Podcast. They have hated this movie since it was announced. I wanted both of them, but we couldn't arrange the schedules to get Keith and Davey together. Davey is angry at this movie. And so they did. Go and listen to their show. This week's show is Roadhouse. He's not wrong. And that's what I love about, and that's why I want to get Davey on the show, and the anger. I don't mind that you have a different opinion, as long as you know why you have the opinion, right? Not like, that's crap. What is it? I don't know, but I just don't like it. No, he's seen it. He hates it. And he doesn't know why it was ever made. And I had invited him on the show. We talked, even before it dropped, we had talked about it, right? So we couldn't get the three of us together, but me and Rich talk about it. And he feels the same way as Davey, not as angry, but we go back and forth and it's pretty good. You know, we have a good discussion about it. We talk about home theater as well, but yeah, that's coming up on Takeover Tuesday. Oh man, it was so much fun, but I got to get Davey in.
Did he present you with your dorky?
No, but we talked about it and I got confirmation. I got confirmation on the air. I already knew. I talked to him before, but I got confirmation on the air that will go out on Tuesday that we are the only people to have won a dorky other than themselves for the best podcast of the year. So
award winning.
the hashtag dork podcast was undefeated like 7 years running. And then we did. So there you go. So yeah.
There you go.
They're great. They're fun guys. I told Keith at the beginning, I'm like, I'm opening it up to you guys. I'm opening it up to you. You can swear because I know you guys like to do it. And we joked about it, but there are spoilers. Yeah. but yeah, we have a great time. We have a really good time. Mm. So, but that's coming up on Tuesday. So. But that's it. And we were so excited about Roadhouse. We had the image up there for the longest time and not us. It was just us talking away with the image of Roadhouse. I forgot to pull down so you could still see our beautiful faces.
We got excited. Got excited.
Yeah. A little excited. It's that good of a movie, right? It's like Academy Award winning.
Well, some sort of an award.
Well, you know what's funny is in that conversation, I mean, in the whole thing, the original Roadhouse was horrible too when it first came out. It was nominated for Razzies. It's like it made me go and look up at the Wikipedia of the original and then read like the reception. Go to Wikipedia, look up Roadhouse from 1989. And you'll see, click on reception and you'll see nobody liked it. And it wasn't until VHS and DVD that it gained its popularity. Swayze's career takes off. So who knows? Maybe this will be just like that.
Don't bet on it. All righty.
Hard to say. But, all right. Is that all you got, Steve?
Enough.
I know it is. I'm starved.
Oh man, great week this week. Really good week this week. Yeah.
Good week. That included a new Roadhouse movie. Just what we've been asking for one for so long.
Have we?
No. That was sarcasm.
Oh, I gotcha.
All right. Thank you everybody in the chat. Another stellar chat conversation going on. I wish we could get to all of them, but it'd be even a longer show. Thanks to all the patrons. See you guys tomorrow night. If you've been listening this long and you haven't rate, reviewed, and subscribed on any of them, especially YouTube, iTunes, or give a buck a month. What does it hurt? It's only a buck to you. Go to Patreon, do that. Or buy us a box of popcorn. You're still listening at this hour. We've been going for 217 now. So really appreciate you. Or you don't have to do anything. Just enjoy. There's no commitment here. But thank you very much. What are you going to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
It's right.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.